when he went to my father to ask for my hand in marriage, which he didn't get, by the way. So my father asked him, how do you make a living? How do you think that you can support a wife? And he said, I'm giving lessons. And my father said, may I ask what you get for a lesson? And he said, well, that's different. I have lessons for 5 shillings and lessons for 8 shillings and lessons for 10 shillings and even lessons for 20 shillings, but nobody takes them. So my father came and said, this is a complete child. He said, you can't marry him. That he doesn't know anything of life. But this is the way it was, actually.
Was he teaching piano?
And most of the lessons were for 5 shillings, which is about like $1. And it translated into money.
Was he teaching piano or theory? Or a combination?
He was teaching to the children, of course, piano. But he had at the same time always some young people who were seriously in studying music and whom he taught the theory and everything, and some of them were, they were always, I mean, he must have been a wonderful teacher, because his students always, and some I have met, you know, treated him not like a teacher, but like a god. I mean, they thought they owed life itself to him. I mean, this was the way they looked.
Would he go to their houses, or did
well,
he have a studio?
Well, that's for the... For the little children, he went to their houses, no, and the others came to him. The Rossier's ones came to him, and he had one student. His sister lives here, whom he thought was very, very gifted, and he perished under the Nazis. Another one became, I think, is a conductor now with the Met. I mean, a young assistant conductor. I mean, now he's not so young anymore, I guess, but I lost track of him. And when we were in this country for a little while, we heard of one who Eric thought very much of, by the name of Krüger, but we never heard of him. I think he might have been taken into the army and maybe perished, because we never heard of him again. And we didn't have any address or anything of him.
The stories are widespread and celebrated about Beethoven's many moves around and about Vienna. Did Eric, as a young composer, move about frequently?
No, really not. I mean, this was almost like a sickness, you know. He was unhappy at home, and it was very confining, as I said, and he had all this, you know, neglect or ridicule and everything, but he could not move out of his home. And the it was a thing that was really a kind of a neurotic thing. He could not travel. And not even the shortest distance, like from Vienna to Baden, which is an hour, he would go alone by himself. He would take his brother along, you know. And when we were already, so to say, engaged or whatever you would call it, I went with my mother to St. Wolfgang, which is near Salzburg. And he was quite poor at the time, and money meant a great deal, but he paid the fare, the train fare, for Hilde Spiel, who you met, to come with him, because he could not go by himself on board a train by himself. And this made things so difficult, because in the beginning, up to, say, his 25th year, he could have gone to Germany, maybe, as so many of the young musicians. Then they had talent. They went. They didn't stay in Austria.
I see that.
Because there is very little that you could do there. Because Austria didn't believe in giving young people a chance. Because you had to have a beard, and it had to be long and white before you got anywhere.
No? So you built your reputation
in
Germany.
The young musicians went to Germany, like Mahler had done, and Bruno Walter had done, and they all did. And, but Eric could not do that. He could never go on his own by himself. And he took psychoanalysis for 3 years and tried to break himself of these things, but it didn't work.
So he had chosen a doubly difficult task, then, to establish himself as a young composer in Vienna.